Buddy Holly, rock and roll pioneer. Born 1936, died 1959.
What to do now that she doesn't want me? That's what haunts me. What to do?
Charles Hardin Holly was born on the 7th of September 1936 in Lubbock, Texas. The more familiar Holly spelling is the result of a mistake on Buddy's first recording contract. The youngest of Lawrence and Ella Holly's four children, he was raised in the strict moral atmosphere of the Bible Belt of Southwest America. Music was an important part of family life at church and at home, and Buddy, surrounded by its influence from a very early age, soon found an affinity with the acoustic guitar.
Still not knowing what to do.
In 1949, Buddy and his friend Bob Montgomery started to play together mostly the traditional country music of the region. By 1953, the duo was playing at every available opportunity with a regular spot on the local radio station with their self-styled Western and Bop. The same year, the duo got together with a contemporary, Larry Wellborn, who played bass.
Hearts that are broken and love that's untrue. Please go with learning the game. When you love her and she doesn't love you, you're only learning the game. When she says that you're the only one she'll ever love, then you find that you are not the one she's thinking of. Feeling so sad and you're all alone and blue, that's when you're learning.
For 2 years, the band played small local gigs, until in October 1955, they got a break. They kicked off two Lubbock gigs, headlined by Bill Haley and the Comets, and the up-and-coming hillbilly cat, Elvis Presley. The trio, soon joined by drummer Jerry Allison, caught the eye of Eddie Crandell, Bill Haley's booking agent, who approached several record companies on their behalf. Decca offered them a trial, but Larry and Jerry, who were 17, Buddy and Bob were 19, couldn't get time off school for the trip to Nashville, so Buddy took bassist Don Guess and guitarist Sonny Curtis. Decca wanted only one vocalist for the group, and Bob persuaded Buddy to take the role. The band recorded four tracks on the 26th of January 1956. The first single, Blue Days, Black Nights, was released in April. The band continued playing and now call themselves Buddy Holly and the Three Tunes. They played exclusively rock and roll, with Buddy beginning to use one of the new Fender Stratocaster guitars, the instrument that was soon to become one of his trademarks. Another Decca session 6 months later produced five more tracks, including a version of That'll Be the Day. The resulting single, Modern Don Juan, You Are My One Desire, brought as little success as the first release. And a third visit to Nashville didn't impress Decca either, so early in 1957, Buddy was looking for another deal. He was, however, confident that he was heading in the right direction.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day.
On the 25th of February 1957, Buddy recalled Larry Wellborn and added guitarist Nicky Sullivan in a trip to the nearest recording studio in Clovis, New Mexico, which had been set up by musician Norman Petty. Buddy recorded the single That'll Be the Day and I'm Looking for Someone to Love, although there was a problem with the former in that Decca still had the rights over it. Because of this, they decided to hide Buddy's name under the cover of a new band. The consequent search through an encyclopedia provided the name that brought fame, the Crickets. As well as recording them, Petty also got involved in the band's management and was soon in contact with Coral Records, which was keen enough on the band's songs to release the new single on 27th of May 1957. During this time, Larry Welborn was replaced on the bass by Joe B. Maldin. Progress was not swift for the single, but it was sure, and it made number one by the end of September.
When I die, well, you give me all your loving and your dirt and loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby, still you tell me maybe that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye, yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day.
The 21-year-old Holly's songwriting was by now as prolific as it was innovative. The industry habit of releasing only four singles a year by any one group gave Petty the idea of releasing Buddy's material on a solo basis as well as with the Crickets. So, whilst Brunswick Records took over the band releases, Coral concentrated on Buddy Holly's records, bringing out Words of Love in mid-1957. Like most of his songs, it was written as a whole, words and music coming to Buddy at the same time. He didn't need to wait for the right lyric to fit a tune. The package suggested itself for him to present to the band. That'll Be the Day brought immediate star status to the Crickets, and they were booked on a four-month tour with the biggest show of stars of 1957. The 15-minute sets by each artist provided a procession of current hits for the crowds during two exhausting shows each night.
Brian, waiting, hoping, you'll come back. I just can't seem to get you off my mind. I'm crying, waiting, hoping, you'll come back. You're the one I love and I think about you all the time.
Before the tour began, the Crickets laid down a few tracks to allow for new releases while they were away. Of the 13 tracks recorded, 8 were Buddy's solo efforts, including Every Day and Peggy Sue. In a single year, Buddy had succeeded in recording some of the most influential songs in the history of rock music. On a break during the tour, the Crickets recorded the final songs for their debut album. By its release in November 1957, both Peggy Sue and Oh Boy were in the top 10 in America. By the 1st of December, the band had discarded t-shirts and jeans for suits, bringing style to their image as they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. About this time, Buddy started wearing his famous black-rimmed glasses.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, oh, how my heart yearns for you, oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue.
After the tour, Nicky Sullivan left the band, and Buddy decided to continue as a three-piece, himself, Jerry Allison, and Joe Maldin. This lineup took its place on another large bill, playing a dozen gigs over Christmas at the Paramount Theatre in New York. There were up to six shows a day, but the lack of travelling made a big difference to their energy levels. Buddy's stage persona was different from the mild-mannered man he was in private, and the Paramount concerts typified his audience-rousing performance.
All of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting, tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant.
After a short break, 1958 got underway with a three-week tour and a visit to a full-size studio to finish recording the Buddy Holly solo album. Of the tracks completed, only Rave On was considered good enough for release. The band left the studio to get ready for a world tour starting in February.
Hell, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me reeling when you say I love you. Rave on.
The first stop was Australia, then it was back to Florida. Then they were off for their only visit to Britain, where excited fans were giving the Crickets better chart placings than those in America. After Britain, the Crickets leapt straight into another American tour, coinciding with the release of the Buddy Holly album. Neither Buddy Holly's nor the Chirping Crickets albums were to make the charts during Buddy's lifetime, however. Two events in June 1958 on different trips to New York encouraged Buddy to change the organisation of his career. Firstly, he recorded two songs at the Pythian Temple Studio without the Crickets and Norman Petty. Secondly, he met Maria Elena Santiago. And on the 15th of August, Buddy and Maria were married in Lubbock.
Why you and I will by and by no true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love ways.
Buddy's desire to work more for himself found him back at the Pythian Temple Studio in October, standing at the head of an orchestra. He'd noticed a tendency towards softer rock and roll in the charts and wanted to try something along those lines. In this session, Buddy laid down True Love Ways and It Doesn't Matter Anymore. Now, we'll never know whether this would have continued in the sophisticated approach. What is sure, however, is that he added a new slant to the possibilities of rock in what was to be his last studio session.
There you go, baby, here am I. Oh, well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore.
After the studio work, Buddy rejoined the Crickets for further touring. He then decided it was time to make the final break with Norman Petty, something which his recent stabs at independence had been leading up to. And he and Maria also wanted to move to New York. Petty had been vital in the development of the Buddy Holly sound, but now Buddy had shown that he could work successfully with another producer as well as having his own production credits. He decided to leave, offering the Crickets the choice of moving to New York with him or staying with Petty and the Clovis studio. He also agreed that they should keep the Cricket name. Now, that was a generous gift, as the Crickets had more success than the solo Buddy Holly. Only the new guitarist, Tommy Allsop, was to take Buddy up on the move. In the final months of 1958, Buddy acclimatized himself to his new life, setting up home with Maria. He did a little producing for his record company and came up with the songs Peggy Sue Got Married and Stay Close to Me.
Please don't tell, no, 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 don't say that I told you so. I just heard a rumor from a friend.
I don't say. By the new year, Buddy was running short of money. Norman Petty had been responsible for all the Crickets' financial dealings. Breaking up with him, and without first sorting out the situation, had left Buddy in a financial stranglehold. Petty legitimately refused to let Buddy withdraw any money until their relationship had been efficiently wound up. Also, Maria was pregnant, so that Buddy had to make some money quickly. The obvious way was to go back on the road. and of several possible tours, he chose the Winter Dance Party, which would set off at the end of January.
The sun is out, the sky is blue, there's not a cloud to spoil the view, but it's raining, raining in my heart.
Despite having given the cricket's name to Alison and Maldin, Buddy borrowed it for the band he took on the Winter Dance Party. Maria's condition made it sensible for her to stay at home, and so at the end of January 1959, the new Crickets joined the Big Bopper, Ritchie Valens, Dion and the Belmonts, and Frankie Sardo on a coach that would have to brave the snows and icy weather of the Midwest winter.
Heartbeat, why do you miss when my baby kisses me? Why does a love kiss stay in my memory? Riddly Pat, I know that new love.
Transport problems left the party stuck in the snow. By the 2nd of February, the musicians were all tired and dirty, and Buddy decided to hire a plane to take him and new band members Tommy Allsup and Waylon Jennings from the gig at Clear Lake, Iowa, to Moorhead, some 400 miles away. They chartered a plane from the Dwyer Flying Service. Though inexperienced, the pilot, Roger Peterson, was willing to fly to Moorhead's nearest airport in Fargo, North Dakota. Learning of the plan, Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper persuaded Allsup and Jennings to give up their places. That evening's concert went well in front of an audience of 1,100. Afterwards, Buddy spoke to Maria on the phone, telling her that he was travelling ahead of the group. Early on the morning of the 3rd of February, 1959, the four-seater Beechcraft Bonanza took off from the airport at Mason City. Minutes later, it crashed. 10 miles away, killing all those inside.
I want you to take me where I belong, where hearts have been broken with a kiss and a song. Spend the rest of my days, dear, without any care. Everyone understands me in the valley of tears.
The demolished aircraft was discovered at 9:30 a.m. Now, the only imaginable reason for the crash was the appalling weather. Roger Peterson would have been flying by instruments alone, and that was a skill in which he was not practiced. News travelled within hours. Buddy's parents heard a report on the radio, so did Maria. She lost the baby soon after. His body couldn't be transported for another day, and the funeral took place on the 7th of February at the Baptist Church in Lubbock. Over 1,000 people were present to stand over the guitar-engraved headstone, and messages came from all over the world, including one from Elvis Presley from his army unit in Germany.
Judge's wife called up the district attorney and said, "Beat that brown-eyed man. Your job better beat that brown-eyed man." Flying across the desert in a TWA, I saw a woman walking across the sand. She'd been walking 30 miles to route to bomb Peter, beat your brown-eyed hands. A man, her destination was the brown-eyed man.
Although that tragic morning took the life of Buddy Holly, the music lives on. News about him always finds its way into the media, including a poignant reminder in February 1980. The police files at Mason City were being cleaned up, and the contents of one including a watch that had belonged to the Big Bopper, and and an unmistakable pair of black-rimmed glasses.
You don't like crazy music, you don't like rockin' bands, you just wanna go to a movie show and sit there holding hands. You're so square.
Baby, I don't care.
I don't know why my heart flips, I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Baby, I don't care.
You don't know any dance steps that I do,
baby.
I only know I love you like I do, I do, I do, I do. I don't know why my heart blips, I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Baby, I don't care.
I don't know why my heart flips, I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the Buddy Holly story entitled Gone to the Dogs, written by Patricia Wilson and read for us by Father Ignatius. Gone to the Dogs.